to be the lambs of the Lord. We bless you tonight, Father, and we thank you. We praise you for all things. Oh, I pray that you allow your anointing to rest upon your bondservant, that he may speak those things that are declared by the Spirit, and that it may bring forth understanding and knowledge to the souls of thy people, that we may eat the fatness of the land, the goodness of our Father. For what father will not feed his children? What father will not feed his son? We thank you tonight and we bless you. We praise you in Messiah's name. We ask your anointing to rest upon this house, that the word of faith may be spoken with clarity and understanding, that we all may know and understand that thou art the living one of Israel. We thank you. We worship you in that name of Messiah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh bless you. You may be seated. What a wonderful thing it is to be alive. And I'm not talking about the physical life. We do bless Yahweh for that. But for the strength of his truth to abide in our souls, and that we may know who he is. What a profound revelation in this hour, where man is seeking after all kinds of things to satisfy him, yet his soul is dying. Because the only way the soul is going to live is by law, the righteous law of Yahweh. Things can never quench nor satisfy the inward hunger of a man's soul. And that is why he is seeking and searching through every kind of paradigm, but he cannot find the righteous power and the laws of Yahweh. I do want to go into this message tonight. I said to Elmer Martin, I certainly do not feel like saying anything physically, but we will trust the Father for all things. It is most important that we receive the infilling of the Spirit of Yahweh. For the things of the Spirit cannot be revealed unless we have that anointing. Now, what has been wholesale to us, or the wholesalers of religious doctrines, they have sold us all kinds of spirits, but yet there is no life. No life in them at all. We need the bona fide power of Almighty Yahweh. And once a man is filled with that, then we will know we are filled with the Spirit, because there are attributes of the Spirit that must come to pass. They are fruit of the Spirit. They must be alive and vivid in our lives. And if they are not, it is not the Spirit of Yahweh. And that's just it. That's it. I would have begun here in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And I would have begun in the 11th verse. I'm not going to read things as it is in the King James. I'm going to put the correct enunciation of the one that should be there. It should not be Christo or Christ. Jesus, it should be Messiah. He is the anointed one of Yahweh. For any other name is a pagan name. There's only one name that identifies with the Yahshak of Yahweh. And that is Yahshua. For Yahweh says, no other name tells us that. No other name. And so what Saul did here, as he wrote unto those of his ethnicity, he spoke a profound truth concerning this pure offering that Messiah offered up for us. It was to reveal the realities of the new covenant and the power and the strength of this new covenant and the law that Yahweh had put in the inward parts and the souls of men, that we may know the reality of whom the Father is. That is what the new covenant is. And the only way we're going to understand that and know the strength and the power of that is by the Spirit. We need the Spirit. That's why we have so many doctrines, so much confusion today. Where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is a law of liberty. There is no confusion where the Spirit of Yahweh is. When a man has that anointing, regardless of the foreign doctrine, he is not confused. He knows. Where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty. For His word is the perfect law of liberty. His laws are the perfect laws of liberty. What is our liberty? That we can express Him in these physical bodies. We can express His truth. That is our liberty, not to sin, not to reject His laws, but that we can express the reality of whom He is. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, it said, but Messiah, He has come as an high priest of just things to come. He came as a high priest to justify the things that should be revealed unto us by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. So what Troy was saying, that what Messiah represents, it has nothing to do with the building of the tabernacle that is made with hands, but He came to express the perfect law of Yahweh. And that is what He came to do. To express unto us and give us understanding of this profound truth of whom Yahweh is. His laws are righteous. And so He was not made by some physical thing. He was not created in the image of the mind, said a man. He came in the perfect will of Almighty Yahweh. Do we not know that He ordained Him just like He did us? He predestinated Messiah before the world was ever formed, just like He did us. Scripture says, neither by blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now that is what Yahshua did. Not Jesus, but Yahshua. Yahweh, truth revealed unto man. We must understand and identify what truth is revealed, or who is the one that ordained this purpose. What God? What is His character and His name? I want to know who He is. If I'm going to trust this sacrifice or this offering that was offered up once, and the high priest had to go into the temple or the place of the holiest once a year. Now, I want to know who this one is and the credibility of this one. Is it based upon some mythical type of religious practice? Or is it based upon the law and the practicality of the law of Yahweh? We must search the scriptures and see what scripture says. It says, for if, verse 13, now for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. Now, that's what it did. The blood of goats and bullocks and the sprinkling of the ashes of heifers sanctified, or it cleansed the flesh for that sacrifice, for that time. He says, now, if it did that, because Yahweh said it was sufficient. The only reason it did it, because the Father said that this is sufficient. Now, if that did that, he says, how much more now, listen, shall the blood of Yahshua, or Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit, now that is the Spirit He was offered up for the offering of Yahweh, through the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh, through the eternal Spirit, offer Himself without spot to who? He offered Himself unto Yahweh without spot or blemish or any sin. Now, He was an offering unto who? We must know who He was the offering for. He was an offering unto who? The sacrifices of the heifers and the blood offerings, who were they sacrificed to? The Father. And so Messiah came to fulfill that in this one offering. He fulfilled it all. And the only way a man is going to understand that, he must have the eternal Spirit of the Father. That's why so much confusion today. That's why men don't know. That's why they do not understand. So He was an offering for our sins unto who? He was an offering for our sins unto who? Yahweh.
He was the offering unto the Father. He said, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Father. Now that is the purpose of Messiah. He came to purge our conscience through that offering from the dead works of the flesh that we may serve the living Father. Now King James will say the living God. But that is the purpose that we, with this conscience cleansed from the fleshly apparatus or the desire to please flesh by the eternal spirit of Almighty Yahweh, then we truly can offer up the sacrifices that are pleasing unto Him or the offerings. And that is our hands lifted up clean, holy hands, offerings of praises and thanksgivings unto who though? The living Father. Now who is the living Father? Who is the living Father? That is what Messiah came to do, to cleanse our conscience. He came to cleanse our conscience from dead works and sin, that we may serve the living Father. Does it say that? That we may to serve the living Father? That we may serve the living Yahweh. And that's why there's such confusion today, because the spirit that is in the midst today, it is not of the anointing. It is not the eternal spirit of the Father. It certainly isn't. Because Messiah opened that door that we may serve the eternal Father. That's why we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We can't worship Him in a deceitful lie. We can't worship Him outside of the parameter of His ordination. And we must acknowledge who He is by His name. Not by some title, but by His name. And so when we don't do that, we are not in the Spirit, because the eternal Spirit of Almighty Yahweh led Messiah to that place that He would be offered up for the sacrifice for us all unto Yahweh, that it will cleanse our conscience of all sins, all condemnation of sin, that we will not have guilt of sin, that we truly can serve Yahweh. That we truly can serve Him. A man brought his bullock or his goat. He sacrificed that. And yet his conscience was still bombarded with the sin or the deed that he had done. And so when Messiah came through the eternal spirit. Now what is the eternal spirit? Through that eternal spirit, He offered up Himself once. Unto Yahweh. Unto the Father, that He by that offering will cleanse our conscience and our mind from the guilt of sin, that we truly can serve the Father. That we may serve the living Father, not the living God, because there's only one living. And His name is Yahweh. And that is the sacrifice of the offering of Messiah to give us spiritual understanding of what great works that were done in that body. Men don't understand it. They think they do. They go by feelings and emotions. But as far as the revelation of the truth, they don't understand that. They go by sermonettes and sermons that have been passed down through generations. But as far as the revelation of the truth, they really don't know. Why? Because their traditions have made void the truth of Almighty Yahweh, and they can't go against the grain of their traditions. And when they see the truth of Yahweh, they will reject that because their traditions teach them something else. I refuse to do that. I reject that. Emphatically, I reject that. He said, and for this cause, for that cause, now listen, isn't that simple there? Because He is the eternal offering for our sins. For that cause, He is a mediator of the new covenant. That by means of death now, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Now that is what He gave us. He opened that door for that eternal, the eternal inheritance of who? Where is our inheritance? Who is the one that offered us inheritance? It's Almighty Yahweh. And Messiah, He secured that for us sakes. He gave us hope in that eternal inheritance. That's what He did. That one offering unto the Father to cleanse our minds and our conscience by the Spirit of the Father. He was not led by His own intuition or His own will. He was begotten of the Father. He was ordained for the foundation of the world to do that. Scripture says that. It's not what I say. Scripture says that. He was ordained for that purpose. Now we must, our minds and our conscience must be cleansed. And that is what the Spirit of Yahweh does. It comes to cleanse our minds and our conscience that we may serve the living Father. Not to serve some creature. They serve the creature more than the Creator. And that's why man is given over to all kinds of doctrines. But the purpose of Messiah was to cleanse our conscience and our hearts and our minds by the Spirit of the Father, that we may serve Him. And that is what the Father wants. He wants us to serve Him. And when you know who you are serving, you identify who you are serving. When you're not serving Him, you don't identify who you are serving. And He wants us to know that that is the purpose of this perfect offering, that your conscience will be cleansed from all guilt and all sins through the eternal Spirit, by my Spirit. Messiah said, I will pray to the Father, and He will send. He will send you another Comforter. He will send the Spirit. He will send the Kudus Ruah. That is what He said. Now, how is it that man simply reject that prayer to the Father? They don't even acknowledge the Father. And out of all of our years of what, we didn't even acknowledge that. Because we had not been taught nor trained by proper instruction. And so in this latter time, Yahweh is causing this profound truth to be spoken only unto the house of Israel and those that have the Spirit. He's only going to deliver those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your prayer doesn't save no one. I don't care what you think. You haven't prayed for no deliverance for anyone. Because if that's the case, then Scripture, all Scripture, is a total fabrication. And that's the truth. I'll show you in Scripture. We're going to move quickly. The Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1. Now look at what Paul says here. Same anointing to assure us of this mighty work that has been done by the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh through that body of flesh of Messiah, that it will secure our minds and our conscience, that we will not serve flesh and sin, but that we will serve the living Father. So Paul said, as he wrote unto those saints at Ephesus, he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Look at how he began this. He first of all, he said, Blessed be God and the Father of Jesus Christ, is what it says in the King James expression. But the true proper rendition is, blessed be Yahweh. Look at who he blessed now. He said, blessed be Yahweh and Father of our King Yahshua, Messiah, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings of the heavens now, not in heavenly places, but of the heavens in Messiah. Now there is where the spiritual blessings come from. Yahweh has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the hope of Messiah. Now there in that body are the spiritual blessings of Yahweh. He is the one that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Messiah. Now, how do we do that? How do we walk in Him? Well, consider Him. He is our example. So we do the same thing He did. Who did He pray to? After that, who did Messiah pray to? Did He pray to Himself? Did He pray in His name? He prayed to the Father. He acknowledged the Father. So if Messiah is our example, Scripture says that consider Messiah our example, unless you be weary in your mind and you begin to faint. Now, if He is our example, then we must pray the way He prayed. We must do things the way He did things. And if we don't do that, then we're not in Him. If we're not in Him, then we don't have the spiritual blessings. I don't care how we feel. I don't care how our emotions dictate to us. You don't have the spiritual blessings. That's the law of Yahweh's truth. Now, you can try to go over that. It still doesn't produce anything. It just produces a fleshly manifestation. That's all it produces. It doesn't produce no righteous law. This religious world has no righteous law. So our spiritual blessings are in Messiah. Well, who is Messiah? Well, He came to reveal the truth of the Father. And if we can't see that in Him, then we don't have the spiritual blessings. He came to give us understanding of the spiritual laws of Yahweh. That is why he was offered once, not twice, not three times, just once. And in that once, in that offering once, it purified or cleansed our conscience from all of our evil works, that we may serve Yahweh. So the blessings are in Messiah. Who gives the blessings? The Father. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Yahshua Messiah. It says in verse 4, because he hath, now look at this, because who hath, now who has? Because Yahweh has chosen us in him. That is what he did. He chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world. Now that's what he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now tell me, my friends, who chose us? Yahweh did. That is why Paul said, blessed be Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, who has granted unto us all spiritual blessings in Yahshua. For we come to the knowledge of whom he is, and what these lying doctrines have taught us, haven't taught us who he really was. So that's why you got this big mess up today. The doctrines are full of lies. That's why there are so many different doctrines and so many different forms of religious whorehouses. Because they don't know. This is only revealed to the house of Israel. The call of the elect and the faithful of Yahweh. And so Yahweh, according that he has chosen us in him now, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. In verse five, it says, having predestinated us, or having preordained us to be his children by the adoption through now Yahshua Messiah. Now, Yahweh ordained that for us to be his children through the adoption by Messiah. We are the children of Yahweh. As folks say, we are all the children of God. They may be all the children of God, but they're not the sons and the daughters of Yahweh. And that is what Messiah came to do. That Yahweh had chosen us. And he had made a way for an adoption through the eternal spirit, by Messiah, that we may be sons of Yahweh. That's what he has done. He has to be his children by the adoption through Yahshua Messiah. For who? Unto himself. Or for himself. He wanted us to be his sons or the begotten for himself. That's what the Father did. That's the extreme pain of suffering he's going through, that he may adopt us unto himself. Unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will or his plan. And that's what he did. He takes pleasure in the plan that he has orchestrated in Messiah to adopt us, that we may be secured in the hope, being sons of Yahweh, having our mind and our conscience clean, that we may know who we are serving. We haven't known whom we are serving. That's why Saul said that when he went to Mars Hill, they had an inscription to the unknown God. Well, we've done the same. Who is this God? They had an inscription to the unknown God. He was just God. Which God? Allah Akbar? There are many gods. Which one? Who is the God that we cried out unto? Tell me. We can be sophisticated all we want to, but that was the truth. We had inscriptions unto the unknown God. We didn't even know the Father. We didn't know who he was. We didn't know how to pray. You must pray the way scriptures say pray. I don't care what this wicked world says. You must pray like Messiah said, our Father. We know that Yahweh here is not a sinner. A man must have the spirit to pray. Why? Because the spirit makes moanings and groanings and sounds that cannot be understood. And only the Father knows. So you need the spirit of Yahweh. This trash we've called prayer, it wasn't dictated by the spirit. It was dictated by our emotions and our feelings and what things we perceive to be right and good. They were not right before Yahweh. That's the truth. You say what you want to. That's why 99.9% have never been answered. What Yahweh has heard of his house is the cry. He's seen the hearts and their cry because they truly wanted to know. And then in this hour he began to reveal whom he is. A father like a son. Child never known his father. All of a sudden he begins to come to that knowledge of whom his father is, this great king. He began to rejoice in that. We haven't known whom our father was. That's why Messiah said, you pray our father. He didn't say my father, but our. Oh, you are. That means my and your father. That's what he said. Our father, which art in heaven. Hallowed. You don't hallow his name. You don't know him. This world doesn't know the father. They don't hallow his name. How do they get around that scripture? Hallowed be thy name. How in the world do you get around that scripture? It's the stubbornness and the wickedness of the heart that gets around it. Not some pagan name, Jesus, that's a pagan lie. And I won't take it back for nobody. And I don't fear saying that. Is it a pagan deception? Any name that distorts whom Yahweh is, it is a pagan identity. If the name was David or Jim, it would still be pagan. It's Yahweh. And Messiah came to reveal the Father's plan, that we may know the plan of the Father. Now look what it says in 1 Peter. I want you to hold that in Ephesians, but turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Now, how do we get past this now? I want to ask you this question. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I want to read this, but I want to go back to 1 Peter. Now, you hold 1 Peter and Ephesians. Now, tell me if you believe this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. If you don't believe it, kephah. If you don't believe it, say, I don't believe it. It says here. It said, elect according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh the Father. So it could not be Jesus or Jesus. Could not be Christo. But we were elect according to whose foreknowledge? The Father. You believe that? Does it say that? He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of the Father through sanctification of the Spirit now. Through the eternal Spirit. The Spirit now. Not the sprinkling of the ashes of heifers sanctify us. But it's the Spirit of Yahweh that sanctifies us now. See, the sprinkling of heifers and the bloods of goats sanctified them or cleansed their conscience. Because they did what was right. And they didn't have to feel guilty of their sin. But now we have the eternal Spirit that sanctifies us. It said, through the sanctification of the Spirit to obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua, Messiah. Not the sprinkling of the blood of heifers. Now we were elected according to the foreknowledge of Yahweh. So he had preordained our election. Had nothing to do with mama's prayer, daddy's prayer. Had nothing to do with mama or daddy or grandmama. It had all to do with the election of Yahweh. You take that away from him, then you are a deceitful liar. Now we were elected according to that. According to the foreknowledge of Yahweh. He clarified that even in a greater sense in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I want to go back to 1 Peter, but I want to go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 29. He says, for whom he did foreknew, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or foreordain to be conformed to now. Look at this now. Yahweh did this, that we should be conformed to the image. To the image of his son. That we might be the firstborn among many brothers. Now that is what he preordained. Through his foreknowledge, that we should all be, every last one of us, conformed to the image of Messiah. That's what the Father did. So when did he do that? Well, before the foundations of the earth were ever formed, he ordained that. He says, moreover, he said, I want you to understand now, moreover, whom he did, verse 2, verse 30, whom he did preordain or predestinate, those he also called. Those that he had predestinated, those are the ones that he called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Now that's what the Father did. That's not hard to understand, is it? That's not that. That doesn't take great revelation to understand that. It's according to the foreknowledge of the Father. And we want to take that away from Him as though man is doing something to draw many unto what they call Jesus. Not so. It is all about the preordination of Yahweh's saints. He preordained. And so those He called, He said, I'm going to justify you. Even in your wickedness and your sin, He called you. And yet He justified you. Why? That all praises and honor will go unto Him. You will bless Him. You will learn to be grateful and to be thankful. You will be appreciative unto Him. Your heart will be filled with the blessings of Yahweh, with the fullness of His fatness. That's why. He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also, He honored them. Those that He justified, He honored them as being His sons. Say, you're mine. I've called you. And your hope is that you are going to be conformed to the very same image as Messiah. And He did all things to please who? Who did He do all things to please? The Father. Messiah did all things to please the Father. Why is it that this generation in this religious world today has no ingenuity to please the Father? They don't even mention His name. His name is not even known. And yet that's all Scripture talks about, the Father. You go through every epistle under Timothy, Timothy, and Titus, and Caiaphas, everyone, they acknowledge the Father. Yet in all their works today, they never acknowledge the Father. We're here to worship the Father. And Messiah never took that away from the Father. We're to worship Yahweh, and not some unknown God. Not some unknown God. When Yahweh give us revelation and understanding of that, then you receive the truth. That's how you do. You receive truth. You buy truth. And you don't sell it. Look at the ninth chapter of the same verse. Ninth chapter of the same book. And Joel says, now look what he says. He said, I speak the truth in Messiah. Or I say the truth in Messiah. Now who is he in Messiah? And that's how we know that he had all of the spiritual blessings. Because he was in Messiah. And when you're not in Messiah, you don't have all the spiritual blessings. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings from the heavens in Messiah. And Joel said, first of all, I speak or I say the truth in. He tells us where he's walking in Messiah. He said, I lie not. Was he not a man? And you trust what he says? And yet we don't think that Yahweh has the same anointing or the same eternal spirit that was in Joel he put in his house. Something is twisted in our mindset. Something is wrong with this generation. It's a foolish generation. They don't even trust no one. They don't even trust even Yahweh. They don't even trust their gods. He said, my conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Spirit of the Kodesh Ruah. Well, how did his conscience bear him witness? Because of the law of righteousness in his conscience, in his mind. He says, so my inward parts bear me witness in the spirit that I have great sorrows and unceasing anguish in my heart. Or I have heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He said, for I could wish or I would love that myself was or were a curse or cut off from Messiah and from my brothers and from my kinsmen according to my race that I'm in. He said, I wish that I had no attachments. I wish there was nothing here that associated me to white men or black men or men of your kin. He said, I wish I was a curse. That they would reject me. That they would not even acknowledge me as a black man or white man or a yellow man. But that is what he was saying. He said, for I wish that myself were a curse from Messiah, from my brothers. And from my kinsmen according to the flesh. I wish I had no identity of race. That's all it's saying. That's what it's saying, okay? He said, who are Israelites? Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? And the honor and the covenant? And the giving of the law? And the service of Yahweh? And the promise? Who are the fathers? And of whom as concerning the flesh Messiah came. See what he said? Where did Messiah come from? According to the flesh. Who is over all? He said, Yahweh bless forever. Hallelujah. Verse 6. He says, not as though the word of Yahweh have taken none effect. For they are not all Israelites, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, and they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these, are not the children of Yahweh. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. What he was saying is that because of a man's fleshly identity, that doesn't make him the call or the elect of Almighty Yahweh. It is according to the promise of Yahweh, those that he foreknew, he preordained them to become sons. And that we may walk in the image of his son. And the only way we're going to walk in the power of his son is through the Spirit. That's why we can't do things to please the Father. That's why the mind today is corrupt and wicked. Because men do not have the Spirit, saints. That's the truth. He did all things to please him. Now, what is it different than him but than us? He was the begotten of the Father. He was preordained just like we were. That's what Scripture says. It says in 1 Peter. I want to go back to chapter 1. First KFR. Verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 17. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadows of turning, no changing. Y'all would never change. He hasn't changed from the Torah, the Tanakh, to now. He doesn't change one bit. Look what he says in verse 18. I want you to hear this. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, or with the law and the prophets. That's what he says. First, I'm reading in the wrong place, forgive me. That's good, though. I like that. First Kephar, First Peter, chapter 1, verse 18. Yes, this one I want. It says, for as much ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. We were not redeemed with corruptible things. As silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. And that's what we have received. Our conversations are vain. Our religion is vain because we received them from our father. He said, but with the precious blood of Messiah, not Christo, but with Messiah, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look what he says in verse 20 now. Who verily, Messiah now, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Does it say that? Does it say that? Now, when you go back to Romans, it says in chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate or foreordained to be conformed to the image of his son, that they might be the firstborn among many brothers. So Messiah was preordained. He was ordained by Yahweh, just like we were, to be the begotten of the Father, and sealed by the eternal Spirit of Yahweh. He was foreordained now, before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last time for you. That's why it was manifest. Whom by him, does it say that? It say, whom by him do believe in God, what it says in King James. Since by Messiah we believe in Yahweh, whom by him we believe in Yahweh. That's how we believe in the Father. Whom or by him we have the access to believe in the Father that raised him up from the dead and gave him honor, that your faith and your hope might be in. Your faith and your hope might be in the Father. For you know that the works that he has done, they were mighty. And our faith and hope must be in the Father. Messiah is that hope for us to believe what the works that Yahweh hath done, their righteous works. And the only way you're going to believe that is through the eternal Spirit. You must have the Spirit of Yahweh. And that's what Yahweh did. He did that mighty work in that body. Foreordained, He did it. Before the foundations of the world, He knew He would come just like you and I. That He may make that one offering, that He may purge our conscience from evil work, that we may serve Him. That's what it's all about, saints. Serving the Father. He wants to be served. He wants you to praise Him too. And lift Him up and bless His name and acknowledge who He is. I know the King James rendition doesn't do that. It is taking out the Father's name and replacing it with God and Lord. And every historian know that. That's what they have done. Well, who is this one that Messiah? Or this one that Scripture talks about? Who is this God? What is His name? He has to have a name. You can't understand the foolishness of that. Here the Son has a name, but the Father has no name. Do you not understand how crazy that is? That is so stupid. What father has a son has no name. Yet the son, they would identify a name for a son, but the father, well, who is his father? In the world will ask you, who is your daddy? I tell you all the story when I first met some of my natural kinsmen. I knew I was their brother's son. Yet they didn't know me, but when they saw me, they said, boy, who be your daddy? They say, you don't look like that man that they say your daddy is. Because I look nothing like that little old man. I look just like my natural father. A physical resemblance. We look alike. Built alike. That little old man, we look nothing alike. Of course, I knew who my natural father was by way of name. That's all I knew. And they declared to me that, boy, who is your daddy? They looked at me and said, no, boy, that's something about you is different. They knew who I was. And so since I changed it, we don't know the father. And yet he had a son, but the father has no name. Then he's illegit. That's what they do on birth certificates. When you're illegitimate, they say father unknown. Now I believe his birth certificate, he has a father's name there. He has an eternal birth certificate. And he was raised by the Spirit of the Father. I want to be raised by that same Spirit. Messiah was raised by the Spirit of the Father. These crazy doctrines, how they just twist the minds of people today. He's only going to reveal His truth to His house, saints. And that's the truth. Not to this wicked world, I'm telling you. He doesn't intend for them to know. Because He has called them and reproved them. And they still will not adhere to any of His counsel. He's going to allow calamity to come upon them. They're going to call upon Him. And He's going to mock them. He's going to mock them in their derision and their calamities. He has ordained His house. He has pre-selected His house. He has called them and elected them. And it wasn't by my mama's prayer to save me. It wasn't by your mama's prayer to deliver you. It was by the very preordination of Yahweh to say, that one is mine. He's not going to justify, but yet he's a sorry, no good thing. He said, I'll justify him. He said, I want him to be conformed to the image. I want him to be just like that begotten one. And we have been begotten through a lively hope, saints. And we've been begotten to a lively hope that we serve the living Father. I don't want to serve something I don't know who I'm serving. We've done that long enough. I know I have. It was only our cries that he heard. My oppressor. He allowed the enemy to oppress you. And you would just cry, help me. You know who you're praying to. And yet he heard our cries. I believe that. He heard not the prayer of a sinner. The scripture says, if any man be a worshiper of Yahweh, him, his prayer, he heareth. It's either that's the law or the truth. You can't make no provisions for that. The Father seeks us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you worship Him in a false name or something, that's not the truth. He just called us and elected us. That's all it was, saints. And He just added us to the assembly. Just like He did in the beginning, daily such should be saved. He know you're going to be saved. He know you're going to be begotten, so He just adds you. And the fellowship. You may be raw, need working on. Maybe ignorant. He knows that. But you're such that should be. Because whom he has elected, he has called. Preordained to be sons. So he knows us. Believe me. He knew you. Quickly back to Ephesians chapter 1. Read that in verse 5 again. Ephesians 1. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yahshua Messiah, unto or to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. Now that's what the Father did. And he will show you why he did this. This is why he did it in verse 6. That's why he ordained us. For what purpose? To the praise of the honor of his grace or his love, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved. He has made us acceptable. For what? For his honor? For his exaltation? We're not going to get by, saints. This world's not going to get by rejecting the pure things of Yahweh. They're not going to get by not obeying the third commandment. Taking his name in vain, his name doesn't mean iniquity with the rat's dung. He will not hold them guiltless. He made all things. And there must be a name of the one that made all things. When every king in Scripture has a name. Everything in Scripture has a name except the Father. Everything in Scripture has a name. Cities, groves, tabernacles, places. When he dealt with them, they all were named. And yet the Father has no name. He's just this elusive type thing, this spirit that's elusive. No one knows who he is. They just say God. I don't even believe that. I honestly do not believe that is not the description of what he is and whom he is. He's not that. Believe me. That's a pagan expression. It's not him. He's Yahweh. The word God cannot express whom he is. The name Jesus cannot never express the power of Yahweh. It just cannot. I don't care what the wicked world says. It can never. It cannot denote what he means or whom he is. Men always come up with new words every day. There are 20,000 new words added every year in the English language. So they always come up with words. They may name it after a man or he may give it a name. And when they give something a name, they put meaning to it. They do it all the time. How do you think they come up with the name of these diseases and things like that? Well, a man discovers some kind of chromosome or some kind of imbalance in the body, and he gives it a name. And that's how they come up with the names. Alzheimer's, you think that just popped up? They just give it a name. That's how they do it. And so you tell me this great creator has no name. It's hogwash. He has a name, saints. This name is Yahweh. I will call him that till I see him. And then when I see him, I'm still going to call him that. His name never changed. Never.